It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner. Brittany Hughes is off this week as she prepares to have a baby. But joining me from HollywoodandToto.com is Christian Toto. Thank you, Christian, for being with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks for dealing with all our hookup issues. A little internet outage in the area causing some problems beginning today. But Christian, we've made it through, and we want to talk about some of the things that are going on in the entertainment industry and in Hollywood. And among them is the new Taylor Swift video for "You Need to Calm Down." A lot of people would watch it, and I would say this video is pretty gay friendly. It's pretty gay friendly, but some say it's not gay friendly enough. What is this controversy?
Well, it's amazing because you would think that when Taylor Swift cast off the shackles of being apolitical that the left would adore her, but as we've learned time and time again, you can't be woken up. There's always a problematic situation. Nothing is ever perfect, and that's what Taylor is facing right now. The new video, some people are charging that it is problematic, that she's trying to capitalize on the gay trend, that she's straight, at least she claims to be straight, so that's an issue as well. So that's just kind of scratching the surface of what's going on, where here's this woman who is trying her best to be as gay-friendly as humanly possible and recruiting Ellen DeGeneres and other sort of gay-friendly stars. It's not enough. It's never enough. And there's always a situation where you need to do more, you need to do different things. And that's why I don't know why people even try.
For anyone who hasn't seen this video, it features Taylor at a super gay trailer park where everybody is in glitter and there's gay marriages going on. And everyone in this trailer park is very gay. And then these outsiders come. And I guess this is supposed to represent the unwashed masses of conservatives. They're dirty, they're hairy, they're smelly, while the gay folks are fabulous. And they have signs that, say, don't be a moran instead of a moron. Things like that are spelled wrong. But Esquire says that the video is strangely both gay and sexless.
I don't know. It's a matter of throwing up my hands at this point. I think everything in pop culture is so X-rayed. You know, if there's a new Star Wars trailer, people spend, go frame by frame on it to find issues and Easter eggs and concerning areas. It's just what we do as a culture. You know, if you're gay and you want to promote gay rights, you would think you would say, "Hey, Taylor, thank you. You're raising awareness and you're being kind to our community." But that doesn't happen. So I don't know what to say. I mean, if I'm Taylor Swift's manager, I would just say, sing songs, go on stage, make people happy, and don't worry about the rest.
And like you said, she's openly being political. At the end of the video, it actually has a request for people to go to a petition on change.org for LGBTQ struggle, right? Something, I forget exactly what she's advocating there. I think it's probably she's advocating for the Senate to pass the Equality Act. Although one thing maybe you can explain to me, I didn't get at the end of this video, features her wearing a fry outfit and somebody in a burger outfit, and they have to hug at the end, and I have no idea what's going on there.
Well, that's Katy Perry, and I haven't followed this because I try to have a life in some capacity, but I guess they've had a feud, and so this was them making up and being nice on camera. The costumes in question, I don't quite get that. But that's what that's supposed to represent, sort of people getting along at long last.
Also going on in Hollywood and dealing with the social justice warrior bit is the new X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix.
Something's happening to me.
When I lose control, bad things happen.
Now, I have to confess, I haven't seen this yet. But there's been a lot of debate online whether it certainly hasn't been as successful as the previous X-Men movies. A lot of people are saying this is one of the worst ones in the franchise as far as getting theatergoers into the seats. And some are saying it's because of the social justice warrior message of the film. Is there a social justice warrior message in this film, or is it simply a bad movie? What's your take on this?
I'm a little perplexed by this. A couple things. One is, it's not a great movie. It certainly is not a great capper to this franchise, which is allegedly going to be kind of going a different direction now that I think Marvel will be running things. But I thought it was perfectly fine. I mean, it just had come out maybe 10 years ago. It was a well-acted, respectable superhero franchise with good action scenes that kept me interested. I think the buzz in the movie was horrific going into things. I think the trailers were lackluster. There is a little bit of posturing here. At one point, Jennifer Lawrence's character says, you know, the women have been doing all the work around here. Why do we call them the X-Men? But I think that sort of the lecturing, the finger-wagging starts and ends there. You know, yes, Sophie Turner is the star of the movie. She's Dark Phoenix's character. You know, it's all about her. But this is a classic Marvel comic story, so there's no reason not to tell it. It's already been told partially in the X-Men Last Stand movie. So I think it's less about the lectures and the social justice. I just think that it caught the zeitgeist at the wrong time. I think people are maybe a little burnt down in X-Men movies. The franchise is on fumes. It's not a great entry. And those trailers, I think trailers are really important these days. If they don't really grab you, the enthusiasm begins to ebb. And I think that's what happened here.
This movie was fraught with controversy during its production as well. In fact, we talked about not being woke enough. The original director of the X-Men franchise didn't direct this one because of controversy surrounding him.
Yeah, certainly behind the scenes, there's a lot of moving and shaking, and that's often not a good sign, but not always. There are movies that have, you know, last-minute reshoots and have some changing of the guard, so to speak, and they end up just fine. I remember when Titanic came out, there was a lot of hullabaloo that, oh, it's just a disaster and it's not going to work out. Well, I think it did just fine. So, you know, it's not too uncommon for these things that go on behind the scenes, but I think the finished result certainly is not excellent superhero storytelling. But having said that, I thought Dark Phoenix was better than Venom, and I thought it was better than Captain Marvel. So I guess I'm fighting against time.
But those movies are obviously more successful at the box office, and that's why everyone wants to know what went wrong here. And Bryan Singer was the director of the original X-Men, and he's been trailed by accusations of sexual misconduct for quite some time. So he was removed, and I guess the scriptwriter in the case of Dark Phoenix became the director.
Yeah, so, you know, again, we saw Solo, I guess, a year or so ago, where they had directorial switches mid-film, and then Bohemian Rhapsody, which was also directed by Bryan Singer, had to hire another director to wrap things up because he went missing. So he seems like a very troubled soul. Take away the Me Too stuff. He's got some issues. He is just can't seem to complete the movie these days. So, yeah, but again, sometimes the movie can trump all of this, but in this particular case, it didn't happen. So you never know. It's Hollywood. Things are crazy. And, you know, at the end of the day, people are rejecting the finished product.
We talked about Dark Phoenix not doing quite so well. Another movie that hasn't done quite so well is MIB International. Is this just a bad year for sequels? What's going on here?
A couple things. One, I don't think there's a lot of enthusiasm for this franchise. We haven't seen an MIB movie in a while. You're changing out the main stars. I think the trailers were lackluster. And I think that audiences are getting more discerning. I think you can see a John Wick trailer and say, boy, they're really kind of putting in their A game here. Or even Toy Story 4, which is a wonderful film. You know, Pixar really doesn't kind of just shrug off a sequel. They put their heart and soul into it. So I think that audiences kind of get that. They get that a movie like MIB International is just a desperate sort of franchise extension. That's my sense. I didn't see that one in particular, but just as far as the audience is concerned, there's no, I need to see this. And in the summertime, we have a lot of competition. You got great stuff on Netflix. You need that real good buzz going. Otherwise, you just stay home.
You mentioned, you know, John Wick 3, but, you know, there's some other, that's one of the few successful sequels that's been coming out this summer. We mentioned MIB. We mentioned the X-Men movie. The Lego Story 2, I guess, struggled as well.
Yeah, no, it's some franchises have legs for a reason, some don't. You know, I grew up watching Godzilla movies. I love those movies. And Godzilla King of the Monsters is a terrible movie. And I'm not even holding up to you have to have great acting or a great storytelling. I just wanted to see some good monsters fight. And it couldn't even deliver that. It was dark. It was murky. So, yeah, again, you know, the franchise thing, it's the de facto mode of Hollywood, but it's more complicated than that. There are some stories that deserve to be teased out. There are some characters we can't get enough of, and other ones we don't really care as much. So I think that goes into it as well.
We're talking with Christian Toto from HollywoodInToto.com. Christian, what's the movie so far this summer that has struck you as the best?
Gosh, you know, I think it's been a bad summer. I really enjoyed Toy Story 4. I think it's a worthy addition. I thought that Toy Story 3 capped things off beautifully. It seemed like the great way to end the franchise. But if they can put out something like this, I'm all for it. It's a really wonderful film. It's just sort of a hint of social justice in there, but you can ignore that. I thought Avengers Endgame was very good, not great. I think it mostly capped that massive series in a way that was satisfying. Otherwise, it's been a rough summer. I think the wokest movie of the year so far is one I liked quite a bit. It's called Booksmart. It's like Superbad with two teen girls instead of teen boys. And for all of its lecturing and empowerment and feminism, it's actually a very well-constructed, funny, well-told movie. So those are the three that jumped to mind. I feel like I've seen a lot of clunkers. The Dead Don't Die is a terrible movie. It's a horror comedy that has neither of both. So I'm hoping that the second half of the summer gets better.
So you actually saw The Dead Don't Die, which just came out. And, of course, that has Bill Murray. It has, you're going to have to tell me the actor's name. I just know him as Kylo Ren from the new Star Wars series.
Yeah, Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. And so the teasers for that have looked good, but you're telling me that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, you know, it's actually got some Trump bashing in there, which is as clumsy and pathetic as you can imagine. But I don't care about that. It just wasn't funny. It's very deadpan, very droll. And that could work, but not here. The writing is just poor. And the cast is amazing, but, you know, you got to give Bill Murray and company something to do. They don't have much to do here.
Now, you talk about the forced Trump bashing in that movie. You actually have an interesting opinion piece on HollywoodInToto.com talking about why three woke comedy flops won't stop Hollywood. And you kind of take a look at those movies and also some movies that kind of bashed the military just a few years ago. And even though they don't do well, Hollywood continues to try to crank these things out.
Yeah, just to give a quick example, it might have been the Hollywood Reporter. It's one of the major entertainment sites. There's this whole story about how movie comedies are suffering, that they're not as funny anymore, they don't do good box office. And it was a big head-scratching piece. Why, oh, why? Well, I know why. Because comedy in our woke era is really being strangled. You can't do things, you can't say things, you can't show things. And as a result, the comedy elements just aren't there. And I think that the screenwriters are kind of handicapped in a way. So I think that's what you see happening, but Hollywood media, much like Hollywood, doesn't see that. They're blind to it. They're in their own little bubble. So they don't get that. They don't get that a movie like Late Night, which is about empowering and it's finger wagging, it's all this lecture as opposed to making us really laugh hard, isn't attractive to a lot of moviegoers. Maybe a small subset love it, but you need bigger than that to make a box office dent. So that's what's going on right now.
We talk about how things are woke in Hollywood and the kind of bubble that we see with the writers there, that they, you know, they feel that they have to get this stuff in. Handmaid's Tale 3, Series 3 came out. It hasn't been getting great reviews, but I mean, this is an iconic book and internet series for the left.
They love it. They can't stop loving it. They can't stop heaping awards on it. And yeah, they love dressing up in those costumes. They love saying that we're oppressed and that women don't have any rights. And, you know, it's funny, they keep saying that, and yet we live our lives and we go about our daily business. And at the same time, what they should be doing is dressing up like characters from 1984, because George Orwell's story is getting more prescient than you can possibly imagine, with deplatforming and people getting kicked out of X, Y, and Z for saying the wrong thing, and the way that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez twist the language. I mean, it's coming to life. So if you want to kind of rally around a classic book that's too true for school, that should be the one, but they don't seem to do that.
We talk about the Hollywood woke mentality. So many of them took part in Alyssa Milano's sex strike when Georgia passed the heartbeat bill. And, you know, they weren't going to have sex, I guess, until that heartbeat bill got rescinded. It's still enacted at this point. And I don't think any of us actually believe that Alyssa Milano and her ilk are not having sex for this kind of period of time, for over a month now.
Yeah, it's a tough one to track, that's for sure. And it hasn't gotten a lot of publicity since she instantly announced it. So it might be a failure, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know her inner sanctum. I don't know what's going on in her home. But God bless her and her activism. I wish it were just a smidge smarter. That's all I can say.
A lot of celebrities have been heading to Twitter in the past few weeks. Someone that I want to mention is Tom Arnold and Deborah Messing decided that they're going to sound off on Kyle Cash, who's not being put into Harvard. He was originally accepted, and I guess his offer was rescinded. He's one of the students from the Marjorie Stoneham Douglas shooting. He was accepted at Harvard, but the acceptance was rescinded. I guess it was actually in the wake of a scandalous Google document where he was caught saying some racial slurs. Now, he said he was trying to be outrageous. He was 16 at the time. He has apologized. But of course, instead of joining David Hogg in deciding to work to get people's gun rights taken away, he decided he was going to talk about things like having increased security in schools instead of attacking people's gun rights. So therefore, the liberal media in Hollywood, they, you know, they cheer. They don't accept his apology. People like Deborah Messing and Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold, in fact, on Twitter called out Ben Shapiro for defending him, defending Kyle Kashuv. And he said, looks like you just want to have a fellow racist get into Harvard. Okay. You know, I guess Tom might be a little upset over having his Russian conspiracies not work out.
Yeah, you know, Tom Arnold may be the last person on earth who should be sounding off on anyone's angry tweets or messages, because if you read his comments over the last few months, he's just a complete meltdown. He said horrible, horrible things, far worse than anything that Roseanne has said. But this is par for the course. Listen, celebrities rallied around David Hogg when Laura Ingraham lobbed the mildest insult possible at him a while back, and they wanted her sort of chased out of decent society. And now this kid is apologizing profusely. It happened 2 years ago. He said he was just trying to be kind of shock jock-esque. That was his explanation. Of course, he needs to be drummed out of society. So the hypocrisy in Hollywood, I cover it on a daily basis, and it's exhausting and it's exasperating, but it's a round-the-clock situation.
Here's one thing I really want you to explain to me if you can. The other week, I think it was 2 weeks ago at this point, Justin Bieber decided he wanted to tweet out that he wanted to fight Tom Cruise for really no apparent reason that I know of. How has that developed?
I don't know. You know, I saw a subsequent interview with Justin Bieber, and he was kind of shrugging the whole thing off. He didn't really want to go through with it. I think there's a couple of things going on. One is, I think for younger people, I don't think they get the gravity of their social media messages. They kind of spout off in the moment. They have like a quirky thought, and they don't realize that it could have consequences. Conversely, I feel like we haven't heard much from Justin Bieber in a while. He's been quiet. There's nothing wrong with that, but maybe celebrities at a certain level just need that attention. They need to kind of get back into the mix, and maybe that was on some level his way of saying, hey, I need some headlines. No one's writing about me. I don't have a new album out, so maybe I'll get some attention this way. Yeah, I mean, listen, if I was a psychiatrist, I would sit down with him and say, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on in your mind? I don't think it deserves that kind of introspection, but it could be a random thought that the media just pounced on.
Christian Toto, thank you for joining us in the MRC TV podcast. I appreciate the time.
Oh, anytime. Thanks.
And that will wrap us up for the MRC TV podcast. Be sure to catch us on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. We'll be back again next week.